to page 8 of document number 1 under tab 7, you'll see where we are currently. And just in the coming months, I just want folks to know that we'll be proceeding into the public comment period, public hearings, on the draft volume 1 of the Habitat Amendment. That will be following the in February. We'll have approval by this council, hopefully, on phase 1 for the draft EIS, which includes all the new EFH designations, all those alternatives which were approved a couple of council meetings ago, and HAPC habitat areas of particular concern proposals as well. So that's coming up at the beginning, in the beginning of 2007. The one decision that the committee made this morning was regarding an HAPC proposal that the committee has been kind of tossing back and forth with the proposers of the HAPC proposal in the Great South Channel and the PDT. And very generously, there was a group of individuals who got together, kind of an ad hoc group, to put together a straw man proposal for an HAPC in the Great South Channel. And that is document number 2A, also under tab 7. So you can see the list of individuals who participated in that process are very diverse. They didn't come to a consensus, but they did all agree to put their names on this document that has several options, which then the PDT took and turned into some maps for the committee to consider, which we did this morning. And so now if you look at document 2, which is a memo from Leslie Ann to the Habitat Committee, you can see what the options were that the committee was discussing this morning. And on pages 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the three options that we were considering. And the committee adopted a motion unanimously this morning to put forward map number 1, which is on page 4, as an HAPC alternative for consideration in the draft EIS. And we have a motion, a committee motion to that effect. The motion's up on the board now, and the motion is I would move on behalf of the committee to include the PDT Great South Channel Option 1, Map 1, in the, well, it was the November, in the document I just referred to, November 1st, 06 Habitat PDT memo to the committee, which is also document 2, as an HAPC alternative for COD EFH in the Phase 1 draft supplemental EIS for public comment. And I would so move.
Okay, that's a motion on behalf of the committee. It doesn't require a second. Did you want to provide a little background on today's meeting and how you arrived at this?
This motion came originated actually with a proposal, an HAPC proposal that was submitted whenever that was, a year and a half ago or so, and the map of which is on page 7. And if you look at that map, you can see that the HAPC proposal, while it's in a similar area, it was something that the PDT and the committee felt just was not workable from many angles. The information was perhaps a little old, and there was a desire to incorporate newer information and also to to designate an area that would actually, in fact, be enforceable. So the proposers of that original HAPC participated in the grassroots group that's listed in document 2A to come up with something that maybe made a little bit more sense today, some, I think, 6 or 7 years after these areas were originally pointed out as important juvenile cod habitat. The discussion went a little further beyond consideration of juvenile cod. Today, the decision, as it's reflected in the motion, shows that the committee was interested in looking at all cod habitats, so all life stages, not just juvenile cod. The original emphasis was just on juvenile cod because that was something that the council had put out in its original request for proposals that people consider juvenile cod as a priority. So that's it just kind of evolved out of that to be a little, significantly broader than just juvenile cod. So we landed on this larger area. There was a discussion of option 2 and option 3, the western area and the eastern area, and the preponderance of juvenile cod in the western area, and interest in the scallop fishery in the eastern area. SMAST was consulted, and the document that they provided in terms of feedback on this area, or at least the portion of the Great South Channel that they've surveyed, is in here as well. So they provided input. But as far as the reasoning, and I'll ask other committee members if they'd like to chime in on this as well. But the thought was to look at a broader area, with the understanding that there is a need for assistance from the public during the public hearing process to get these boundaries maybe more appropriate. There's a special interest in the western boundary, which was difficult for the group that that convened over the last couple of months to put together this area that is represented by the by this motion, and they acknowledged that the western boundary was particularly difficult for them to to nail down. So in a nutshell, we really decided that a larger area was something that would give the public more freedom to to try to figure out where the most appropriate subset would be within that area to be designated as an HAPC, and that perhaps options 2 and 3 would limit the public unnecessarily.
Okay, anyone else on the committee care to comment on the motion? No? Any discussion or any questions from the council? Anyone in the audience? John.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Williamson from the Ocean Conservancy, one of the members of the ad hoc working group that put together this alternative proposal. The concerns that had surfaced at amongst the habitat advisors and discussions around the previous proposal for the South Channel area was that it was fragmented and wasn't really doing a good job of capturing the dynamic of habitat complexity that exists in that area. We've all been aware for years that the South Channel area seems to have a very important area for a number of fisheries, and seems to be a very vital area in the habitat realm, and hasn't been sufficiently examined in its complexity. The working group they got together, as Sally pointed out, was looking as much at post-larval information on post-larval cod from the Mass Inshore Trawl Survey, as well as the information we had on EFH for juvenile and adult forms of cod. So we felt that a larger area that attempted to capture the full range of complexity of habitat types in the area was going to yield the best results in a public hearing setting. There is a great deal of complexity that's represented here. The inshore of the 50-meter line, the data on post-larval cod demonstrate that there's a lot of settlement of post-larval cod in that zone. Westward of that 50-meter line, there's a great deal of presence of juvenile and adult cod, coupled with heavy activities from the scallop fleet. We examined the scallop VMS data and saw that strong correlation. There's was concerns that were raised over benthic communities such as horse mussel beds, and the relevance of those sorts of communities to, again, post-larval survival and to the importance for growth areas for juvenile cod. So for all these reasons of complexity, we felt that a very large area for going off the public hearing would yield a lot better information. We don't anticipate that the current bounds that in this proposal will necessarily be what comes out of public hearing, but we'll certainly have a better definition of how this area is used and what people's perceptions of it are.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Okay, back to the council. Any further discussion or questions? Phil? Roll call vote. Karen, do we have any roll call vote forms?
Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Rip Cunningham. David Gaethel.
Yes.
Tom Hill.
Yes.
Mike Leary.
Yes.
Sally McGee.
Yes.
Pat Kirkel.
Yes.
Terry Stockwell.
Yes.
John Nelson.
Yes.
Jimmy Audlin.
Yes.
John Papalotto. Oh, sorry. Dave Preble.
Yes.
Dana Rice.
Yes.
Phil Rule.
Yes.
Jim Salisbury.
Yes.
David Simpson.
Yes.
And Mark Gibson.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Anything else, Sally?
I'll just mention that the committee did receive an update on non-fishing impacts projects, the major ones. So we're continuing to be kept apprised of beach nourishment and mining projects, LNG, more than half a dozen LNG projects, two wind farm projects, and tidal power projects. Nothing to report on that, but we are keeping up to date on those. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, we'll go right into the next agenda item, unless there's any other. John.
Mr. Chairman, just a little procedural note kind of struck me. It might be good for the executive committee to take up under efficiency, whether or not we want to revise how we do roll call votes. My sense was that what we just did was nice, but kind of a waste of time. You could have found out from a show of hands, I votes, nay votes, whatever you want to do. But maybe for final actions, we should do roll calls as desired, if the council needs to have that on the record. But maybe for something to go out to public hearing, you know, maybe a roll call vote is not really something that we want to utilize at that particular time. So I would just suggest the executive committee, if they so desire, look at that type of policy and come back to the council with suggestions. Thank you.
I think that's a good suggestion. Thank you. Anything else? L.A. House of Mirrors.
It's crazy. I feel like I'm in a fun house or something.
couple quick things on habitat. Sally mentioned that the regional office gave us a quick overview of the major projects that are going on. Two of the projects have gone into the FEIS stage. That's the Neptune and Gateway LNG projects. The FEIS is out for public comment. The deadlines are November 25th and December 2nd. So with Paul's agreement, we'll go ahead and look at those FEISs and draft a comment letter quickly to respond to the FEISs for those LNG terminal projects. Just to let you know, we did comment on the DSEIS stage, but we probably want to go on record as commenting on the FEIS as well. So just wanted to throw that out there. And secondly, to be responsive to the council's request from the last committee meeting, you passed a motion, and Dr. Pierce is not here, so this might be a brief conversation, but you passed a motion to check with the MID to see what they wrote on a dogfish prey species. Remember the whole dogfish prey species discussion we had last time? And if not, to ask them to write one or do one. The 1999 dogfish FMP did include a prey species section. It was approved by the agency. It's not to any extent that we've done in our current prey species effort, but just want to let you know that we have decided not to send them a letter if that's okay with you, because they did write the section and it did get approved by the agency. And I don't know what the status of the dogfish FMP is. The document is obviously 7 years old now, but just wanted to let you know that they met their EFH requirements for prey species in the original FMP.
Thank you. Anything else? Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not really on the habitat. Before I go on to another thing, I'd like to, it's a housekeeping issue. If you'd like, I'd like to offer a motion that whenever the council uses a consensus or another agreed position, that the motion list reflect it. Karen has the motion. If I get a second, then I'll explain it to you.
Jack?
Dana, was that you?
Yeah.
Seconded by Dana Rice. Go ahead, Phil.
The reason I put this up there is when we do a consensus statement or stuff now, it used to be reflected in the minutes. We don't have minutes. We have the tape, which is not that easy to go through. But it doesn't reflect it in the motion list. So right now, the only real paper trail that you can go to is the list of the motions. And I feel it'd be a better record for us if we have it listed in the motions when we say we're going to do something or anything that we agree on.
Anybody else? John?
I think I understand, but I'm not really sure. And I would suggest that maybe this is something else the executive committee could just take a look at and come up with some options to come back to the council for consideration. I'm not really overly clear on what we're trying to do.
Paul?
This is not really a problem. Karen and I and Pat Fiorelli sit down after every council meeting and with Chris, and we go through action items, things like this, have the executive committee meet. I write them all down. And before I gave them to Tom, and now I give them to John, and you know that list of follow-up actions. So this, if you want, there's no reason I can't share that with the whole council. After each council meeting, we do a follow-up action items. So it shouldn't be a problem. I'd rather not add it to our motions, because that's part of the official record. Now, you know, we have our motions, we have the council report, and the tape are the detailed minutes of our meeting. So follow-up actions, I'll give you a copy that I give John, which would be consensus items, you know, do this, or we agree to send a letter or something like that that isn't voted on. Is that what you're talking about?
A little bit of both, yeah. I can agree, like if we agree to send a letter or whatever, that I could fall into, but sometimes we take a consensus of an action instead of taking a vote. We end up with a consensus of, yeah, everybody says we're going to. And then there's no real actual trail of that anymore. You have it as that, but I can't go back into the website or the motion list and get it. That's why I was wondering to include stuff like that on the motions that are in there. But I don't have a problem if you want to take it to executive committee and come back for it.
I think you'll find that what the staff puts together is called the follow-up action item document, and it contains all of the things that I think you're trying to get a handle on so you can keep a record or keep track of, you know, did we do what we said we were going to do? Where are we in progress with that?
But where's the public record of it? My concern is the real part of it. We don't have the only public record right now is to go back into this CD and try and tease out, you know, which is a pretty time-consuming process, to, you know, whatever came out, even if you have a list that you put up, to go back in here and see just, you know, the exact wording of whatever it was isn't there.
Okay.
That's my concern. We don't have the record.
It's a little more complicated than that because, quite frankly, often the staff says, you know, will say, council didn't want that. Some member will say, I think we ought to do this. And everyone just looks at each other, and then we go on to the next item. And the member that said, I think we ought to do that, thinks it should have been done. So we have to be very careful about voting and motions. If you want something to be on the record that the council voted on by consensus, by show of hands, or by vote, it should be a motion. If it's a follow-up action, I think we ought to send a letter to, you know, ASMFC or send a letter this, and we're not going to vote on it. You know, it can be a follow-up action. But we ought to talk about it at executive committee.
Well, it's been debated, so I think it needs to be tabled. Okay, non-debatable. All those in favor of tabling the motion, raise your hand. Okay, that's unanimous. We'll put that up on the follow-up list and deal with it at the executive committee. We'll come back to you. Anything else? Okay, we're going to go on to the 2 o'clock agenda item. It's a presentation from Dr. Fogarty, moving towards ecosystem-based management next steps.
That we're taking now.